morning. Welcome to the Mashiach and Geula class. We're learning in the Akedas Yitzchak. We're going to continue where we left off last week. We're learning an interesting passage in the Gemara. Vayavayu alamaka in Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Tes. They came to the place that God told them, Vayivin Shom Avram Asa Mizbeach, and Avram Bildu Mizbeach, Vayarech Asa Eitzim. And he piled up the wood. Vayakad is Yitzchak Benoi. And he tied up and he bound his son Yitzchak. Vayasem Oysoi, and he placed him. Ala Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach, Mimala Eitzim, on top of the wood. So this is this very, 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 very powerful moment. Yitzchak is laying stretched out on the wood, on the fire, on the Mizbeach. And Avram is ready, stretching out his hand. The next pasuk is going to be Vayishlach Avram es yadoi, that Avram Avinu stretches out his hand. Lishchet es benoi. Where is that pasuk mentioned over here? At the last moment, at the last second, Yitzchak the Malach calls out to Hashem, to Avram Avinu, and he says, Avram, Avram, Hineni, I am here. Don't stretch out your hand. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you're a God-fearing man. So last week, we were learning a Gemara. The Gemara is in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Pei Tes, where the Gemara says, I just want to read the Gemara over again. The Gemara says that the Schus of Yitzchak Avinu by the Akedah is what ultimately is going to save the Jewish people in the time after Mashiach comes. After all we've been through, after our lives, after everything, after the whole exile, and, you know, we've accomplished so much, but being in this very, very challenging world, in this very difficult life, there are serious challenges which caused Chas V'Shalom, in the midst of all of this balagan, which in the midst of all of this craziness, has caused Chas V'Shalom Jews to sometimes misbehave as well. And it says that when Mashiach is going to come, it says in a pasuk on Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni brings a pasuk on Rabbi Yonah's son, Ki Ata Avinu, you are our father. What does that mean that you are our father? Ki Avram lo yadanu. Our father Avram doesn't know us. Yisrael lo yakirenu. And Yisrael, which is Yaakov Avinu, doesn't recognize us. Ata Hashem Avinu goyaleinu. You are only you are our father. May Olam Shemecha, forever is your name. So the Gemara says as follows: La Asad Lava Yomer Lo Yakadosh Baruch Hu La Avram. When Mashiach, in the end of days, when Mashiach will come, Hashem will say to Avram Avinu Banecha Chatu, your children have sinned. Li to me, Amru Lafanav, Amal Lafanav Rebbeinu Shalaylam. So Avram says to God, Master of the Universe, Yemachu Al Kedusha Shemecha, let them be erased for the sanctification of your holy name. So last week we learned from the Olah L'Sefrayim. And from other Mefarshim, the Marsha, that when Avram Avinu says these terrifying words, let them be erased for the sanctification of your name, is that it could be referring to let either the simple way of understanding is let the Jewish people, Chas V'Shalom, be erased for the sanctification of your name. Which is strange that Avram Avinu will sell the Jewish people down the creek. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, we see, puts himself up in such a fight. And even Avram Avinu, we find how he fights for Sodom, right? For the people of Sodom and Amorah, for the people of the five cities. And here he's willing to say, let them be erased. So we learned, however, there's another pirush that Avram said, let the sins be erased. So what? They sinned, but so what? Look what they've been through and whatever, and let it all be erased. Whatever it is, whatever that means. Then Hashem is going to say, Amar Emel El Yaakov, let me see what Yaakov can do for them. The Havelei Tzar Gidol Banim, he will sympathize more with the Jewish people because he had pain of raising children. Afshar Deboi Rachmi Olai, or maybe he will plead mercy for them. Amalei, he said to them, Banecha Chotu. Amalei, he said to him, to Yaakov, your son sinned. Amar Lefan of Reboi Nishaloylam. So Yaakov says to God, Master of the world, Yemachu al Kedusha Shemecha, let them be erased for the sanctification of your holy name. Amar, he said, so Hashem says, so again, here we have a big problem. because no one is standing up for the Jewish people, neither Avram, neither Yaakov. So the Eibishter says, Loi besabi taima, that there is no reasoning with grandparents, with the older folks, the older people. They're not giving me a good meaning. Avram Avinu, who's the grandfather, he's not giving me what I want to hear. He's not giving me a rational, reasonable argument. He's telling me they should be erased. That's not good. Hashem doesn't want to accept that. V'loy b'dardiki etza. And there's no etza, there's no counsel coming from the child, which is Yaakov, who's called little child. Nothing coming from him. Amaloy liyitzchak. So Hashem said, let me try just the middle one, one that's not too old and not too young. Amaloy liyitzchak, he said to Yitzchak, banecha chatuli, your son sinned to me. So Yitzchak says, Ribbono shel Olam, master of the world, banai v'loy banecha. You're telling me your children, they're your children, they're not my children, they're your children as well. Well, you're telling them they're my children. It's your problem just as much as it is my problem, because they're really your children. And then Yitzchak says to Hashem like this, b'shoshek dimu l'fanecha nasa l'nishma, at the time when they said before you, nasa we will do, before nishma. In other words, in that beautiful moment at Matan Torah, when they stood before you and they said, nasa v'nishma, karasa lahem bin banai, you called them my children. B'ni b'chayri, not stam your child. You said, b'ni b'chayri, my firstborn child. Such affection, such love, such amazing connection, and such, right? You endeared them so much. Achshav, but now, banai v'loy banecha, now they're my children suddenly because they misbehaved. You're alienating yourself from them to the point where you're disassociating yourself from them. They're not your children. That's number one. Let's look at this correctly. They're your children as well. And then Yitzchak begins to reason. Kamachatu, how much did they sin in? Kamashnoisa shaladam, how much does a person live? Shivim shana, a person lives for 70 years. Okay, so now let's really, really look into it. If a regular average span of an average span of a human life is 70 years, so now let's break down how much they really, really sinned. Dal esrim deloy anashta. First of all, subtract 20, which you don't punish for 20 years. A lie, okay? What a person does till they're 20 is considered really immature. They really don't have, they're insane teenagers. They don't know what they're doing. So you can't count anything till 20. So we're left with 50 years. Pashul l'chamishim. So we're left with 50. Dal chafei delelsa, take away 25 of the night. Pashul l'chafei. Because the time that they're sleeping. Okay, no one is really sinning. You know, sometimes you have a child that's really, really gives you a run for the money. But when you look at them when they're sleeping, they're like a little sweet little tzaddikal. Because they're sleeping. I mean, it's cute when they're sleeping. So he says, well, we're all cute when we're sleeping. Nothing wrong with us when we're sleeping. So now what are you left over with? 25 years already of sin. Okay, but every wakeful moment are people sinning? It doesn't make any sense. Dal tarti sari upalga. Take at least 12 and a half off when they're busy doing stuff they need to do just to live, including their religious things of davening and other things and learning, whatever. Dal sa palga sari palga tzliya, where they daven, umechal, and they eat, the beisakise, and other physical needs. Pashalu tarti sari upalga. So you're left with 12 and a half. Okay, so all that we have now for every single person is 12 and a half years. So for the 12 and a half years, imata sevelas kulam, if you can handle, you were saying, oh, they were so sinful to me. Initially, you thought there's 70 years of sin. It's not. We're down to 12 and a half years of sin. Okay, God, if you can handle that, mutav is good. Vimlav, if you can't handle that, palgalai palgalach, let's split it in half. 6 3/4 is on me, 6 3/4 is on you. Oh, I'm sorry, 6 1/4. Six and a quarter on me and 6 1/4 on you. And if you're going to say, kulam alai. If you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not willing to tolerate anything. They're all upon you. Yitzchak said, well, akravis, hukrivis nafshayi kamach, I've already been moisa nefesh before you. I've given my life before you. Paschu v'yamru, so in the yidden, and by this, so why does this come into our discussion now? Because the Akedas Yitzchak ultimately is going to save the Jewish people, because Yitzchak is going to say to God, for the last defense and the last argument, I've already sacrificed my life, which means I've already paid for their sins in advance. I don't want to say that we have credit, But we have a credit from Yitzchak that schus of Yitzchak's merit is going to save the Jewish people, even if it's 12 and a half years of sin for every single person. Yitzchak is going to cover it all. And then everybody's going to say, V'amru Yidna going to say, Ki ata avinu, you are our father. Okay, that's the general Gemara. Then Yitzchak says to them, don't praise me, praise God, praise the Eibishter. Okay, that's the story. So last week we already discussed the whole idea, how can it be that Avram and Yaakov do not stand for the Jewish people. What was the uniqueness of Yitzchak's argument? It's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk a little bit about more the Hasidic element of this all, the deeper. You see, if we're going to say to Yitzchak, you are a father, means that the energy and the mode of connecting to God during the time after Mashiach comes is going to be Yitzchak style. We know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, besides their physical human beings, each one of them represented a certain mode of divine service. Each one of them was a different character. And we all possess different the spiritual energies of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is in which different elements of our Avodas Hashem. Generally, we know that the world stands on three things: Allah Torah, Val Avodah, Val Gemilas Chasadim, on Torah study, on Avodah, and divine worship, which we do today through prayer, used to be through sacrifices, and Gemilas Chasadim, and kindness, charitable acts. And we know that that represents Avram is Gemilas Chasadim, charitable acts, Yitzchak is Avodah, service of Hashem through prayer, and Yaakov is, and sacrifices, and Yaakov is the service of God through Torah. What we are saying now is that once Mashiach comes, our primary connection to Hashem is going to be in the manner of Yitzchak. So this is where I want to talk a little bit about what is the uniqueness of Yitzchak, especially since this class is all about understanding and getting an appreciation of how things are going to be when Mashiach comes. What does it mean that in Yitzchak, in the La'aset Lavei, when Mashiach comes, everything is going to, the whole Avodah is going to be in a state of Yitzchak, in a state of Gevura. In a sense, we also know that today the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that in Judaism there are two schools of thought. One school of thought is the school of thought of Hillel, and the other school of thought is the school of thought of Shammai. And the difference between the two of them is that Hillel is kinder and gentler; it takes a far more chesedig approach, and Shammai is far stricter and judge and harsher. And today's days, we know the rule is halacha is like Beis Hillel. The law is like Beis Hillel. But when Mashiach will come, it says that it's going to change. After Mashiach comes, the Arizal says the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Shammai is stricter, which means that the order, the hanhaga, the conduct of the way the Torah is going to operate is going to be in a far more gevuridiga manner. Because now we're dealing with the Yetzer Hara, with evil inclination. So it requires far more tolerance on God's part. We have to be gentler and softer because we can't stand, we're not able to tolerate a harsher approach, a more meticulous and harsh and exactness. However, after Mashiach comes, since there's no more Yetzer Hara, and we don't have the same kind of obstacles, so the bar is going to be raised to a much higher level, and the expectations are going to rise. And therefore, it's going to be called for a much stricter way of life. But we can handle it during that time. That's a simple meaning. But we need a deeper understanding of that idea, that when Mashiach comes, the gevuris are going to be stronger than the chesed. In general, we also know today that everything we do in Yiddishkeit, the right has to dominate over the left. We always put emphasis on the right side over the left side. Even when we get dressed in the morning, the proper way of getting dressed is always to give honor to the right over the left, to put in your right sleeve before you put in your left sleeve, to put on your right shoe before you put on your left shoe, and so on and so forth. Even when you shower, you're supposed to soap and wash your right arm before you do your left arm. Everything is right over left. Closing one's buttons, in essence, Hasidic clothing is that you button the right side over the left, if you can get that, kind of shirt or whatever it is. That's the way it is. That's how a kapata is made, a bekesha, whatever, all these Hasidic malbushim that are based on a Kabbalistic way of getting dressed is right over left, because we want to be magbir, we want to strengthen the chesed over gevura. However, that's only till now. Omot Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes, things are going to be the opposite. That we're going to dominate gevura over chesed. So what does that mean? How does that work? And what is the significance of that? Now, in addition to us serving Hashem, whether we're serving Hashem in a chesedic way, in a way of kindness, or whether we're serving Hashem in a gevuradig way, it's not just our service, it's also the conduct from above. What side of God is more dominant? So we're saying that if when Mashiach comes, we're going to say, because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, besides role models for us to serving God, they are also the channels through which God expresses himself into the universe. So Avraham Avinu is not just a teacher for the Jewish people. He's also a communicator between the divine and this world. That means that when Avraham Avinu was alive, the channel through which God used to enliven the creation, to sustain the creation, and to communicate with the creation was the channel of chesed. When Yitzchak became the Rebbe, when Yitzchak became the leader of the Jewish people, when Avram passed away and it was Yitzchak's period of time, then God was conducting the affairs of the world through the attribute of Gevura. And when Yaakov was the leader, was the father, then it was Tiferes. Right? So now if we say that the same thing is in regards to the more general periods of time, it means that now, until Mashiach comes, the flow is more of a chesedigo flow from above, and then afterwards it's going to be gevuradig, which is very hard to understand, because now is exile, now is darkness. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be revelation. And if it's going to be revelation, that's the whole chiddush of Yemoisa Mashiach, the nigla kvod Hashem, that the glory of God is going to be revealed. So how can that be considered gevura? We know that the difference between chesed and gevura is when your kindness is when you are open with someone. You're open, you're revealing, you're giving, you're projecting, you're flowing. Gevura is contraction. You're contracting into yourself. When you're being gevuradig with someone, you're distancing yourself from them. So when we're thinking about Mashiach, we're not thinking about God, Chas V'Shalom, distancing himself from us. We're thinking about Hashem revealing himself to us. That's the whole idea. V'nigla kvod Hashem. So how can it be that when Mashiach will come, Yomru LeYitzchak, we're going to say to Yitzchak, Kiyata Avinu, that you are our father. That means the conduct from above is going to be what seems Chas V'Shalom in a matter of closing up. And that's not what we're expecting in the days of Mashiach. So the Tzemach Tzedek in Ora Torah deals with this question. And the Tzemach Tzedek is a long discussion, which I didn't really understand everything that the Tzemach Tzedek is explaining over there, but I'm just going to take one akuda and one point that he explains. And he says that generally we associate chesed with a flow and gevura with a elevation, with a withdrawal, the opposite of a flow. When, as we mentioned earlier, when it's a chesed, when it's a time of chesed, it means godly light is flowing downward into the universe, into the creation, to illuminate lower and lower and lower, and a real, real expression of chesed is where Hashem is light. When a miracle happens, for instance, in the physical world, so here godliness is in display all the way down, that's powerful chesed. What's gevura? Gevura is a time when oiseiseinu loira'inu, when Hashem withdraws, when miracles are not seen, where there's a helam v'hester, there's a concealment, where God removes himself higher and higher. That's how we understand that's gevura. He says, yes, that's true. That's a form of gevura, but that's not the gevura that we're talking about that's going to happen when Mashiach comes. When we say that light, when gevura, yes, gevura is contraction, and gevura means that something is returning up. It's going higher and higher, returning back into it, so to speak, into its source. However, he says there's two types of such retraction or contraction or returning of light, of energy, higher back into oneself. There's one way where the contraction is that the light leaves the energy leaves, it departs. It departs from the vessel. And when it departs from the vessel, it leaves the vessel down here below in the dark. The perfect example for such a gevura diga experience, for such a contraction, is the contraction of sleep. When we go to sleep, our soul is in a gevura diga state. It's not, and during the day, b'chlal, daytime is a time of chesed, a time of light. The world is illuminated, right? It's full of light and warmth, and you can see everything. It's a time of kindness. That's Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker. Avram wakes up in the morning, because the morning is when Avram Avinu's energy is activated in the universe. There is revelation. It's very good. Fine. And then in the evening, it starts becoming Yitzchak. That's what we daven Mincha. Mincha is connected to Yitzchak, because the light starts, it gets dark. So the same is also at night, we go to sleep. And we, our bodies, go into Yitzchak mode. What's the Yitzchak mode that we're talking about then? That the nefesh, the soul, goes back up to heaven to re-energize, to go back into its source, to replenish, to charge, so to speak, its battery. But what happens to the vessel? What happens to the container? What happens to the keli, to the vessel, which is the body? The body is in a dysfunctional state. The body is in a state of darkness. You can't, a human being is not too productive when they're asleep. I mean, they're productive in the sense that they're gathering energy for the next day. But at the time, the few hours of sleep, you're in an unproductive state. Your mind is tzimish, the mind is confused. You have the most ridiculous experiences and dreams. Absolute narishkeit and silliness and stupidity. And that's it. There's nothing productive happening in the actual sleep in the body, because the body is left in the dark. That's called aliyas ha'oirois, where the oir goes up and it leaves the keli below. It leaves the body, it leaves the vessel in the dark. Histalkus ha'oirois min ha'kelim. It's when the lights go away from the vessels. In a more extreme fashion, chas v'shalom, is the inyan of death, where the neshama completely moves away from the body, and the body remains useless. You have to put the body in the ground. There's nothing to it, because the neshama has departed the body. That's, now he says there is such a phenomenon above, that where there is an aliyah, there's an elevation, where the lights go away from the vessels, and he gives an example when that happens. Every Erev Rosh Chodesh, we know, is a time, Rosh Chodesh is a time of light. Chidush, new light. What does it mean? The moon is now again, is born. What does it mean the moon is born? The moon is born, meaning that she receives new light from the sun. The sun is shining on the moon, and that's why we see the moonlight. That means there is revelation. There is godly revelation. There is the revelation from the sun to the moon. What happens on Erev Rosh Chodesh? Erev Rosh Chodesh is a moment when there's no moon at all in the sky. So what had happened then? It means that the Oirois went completely away from the moon, which spiritually means that Malchus, which is the power of God in creation, is left in the dark. God is not illuminating the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is in the dark. Erev Rosh Chodesh, and it's an emptiness. It's a time of tshuva, because there's an emptiness. We feel lifeless. And we're seeking new revelation. That's why it's a time of tshuva, where we have to seek deep and prepare ourselves. And then Rosh Chodesh comes, and we all have a refreshed renewal. Hashem has recharged us with new light, with new energy. More intensely, this happens every year on Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, it says that Rosh Hashanah by night, from Erev Rosh Hashanah, kind of midday, until we blow shofar, there is a tremendous emptiness within the universe. The soul of creation departs. In the words of the Kabbalist, there is a time of dermuta deza, that there is a time of sleep, that the neshama, the zeir anpin, the soul, goes away from malchus, goes away from the kelim, and the world literally on a state of faint. There is no life. Mamish, there's lifeless. It's a very dangerous time. But what does that do? That creates within us, into the vessel, when we feel that we don't have any oxygen, we see whenever we desperately cry out, from that desperation, from that constricted, lifeless state, we cry out to the Eibishter, we blow shofar and all of that to awaken, to cause Hashem to re-engage the creation with a new excitement, with a new vigor, with a new energy. Okay, So that is the same idea. Erev Rosh Chodesh, it happens in a small, little way. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, it happens in a grand way. But these are all, the common denominator of all these things are, is that these are all times when the vessel, when the light goes, energy goes away from the keli. So even though for the energy, it's an elevation, because every time an energy is expressed in a keli, in a vessel, the energy is weaker because it's giving life to the vessel. The vessel is limiting it. For a simple example, when a neshama is in a body, even though the body is illuminated, but for the neshama, it's a tremendous constriction. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that the love that the soul has to God when the soul is in heaven is far more powerful and much, much stronger than the love that the neshama has to Hashem in the body, because everything is dramatically and drastically reduced when it's in a body. We can understand that. So when the neshama, when neshama leaves the body, the neshama is refreshed, replenished in Gan Eden, right? Every night when we go to sleep, we wake up refreshed. Why? Because our neshama was recharged. So of course, for the soul, it's very beneficial, and the soul is recharged. Ultimately, it's beneficial for the body as well, but at least temporarily for the body, it's a state of chaos. So for the soul, it's an illumination, but for the body. Now also, let's say spiritually, when we are asleep, it says that, you know, for the we know that our, you know, we have silliness happening in our body, but our neshamas go up and experience, if we spend the day appropriately, our neshamas experience great spiritual illumination during the time of sleep. It goes up to Gan Eden, it says, for tzaddikim. So it's very, very great for the neshama, but it's dark for the body. However, so that's one type of aliyah. It's a separation. It's the ur going up and the keli being left down here. But that is not the ultimate idea of Yitzchak. The real idea of Yitzchak, where energy ascends, is that the energy ascends by taking the vessel along with it. The vessel, the containers go along. How do the containers go along? Because what the main idea of Yitzchak is, what's called Zichuch HaKelim. Yitzchak works. The difference between Avram and Yitzchak is Avram comes to inspire, to illuminate people that don't have, a person who has no merit, a person who has no virtue, a person who is in a low state. Comes Avram Avinu, and Avram is kind and gentle and teaches this person, illuminates that person's life, gives him tremendous inspiration. Fine. Avram can teach. Avram can teach even an Arab who bows down to the dust of his feet. There's no discrimination. Okay, fine. And the Arab says, wow, for a moment. And then he goes and he leaves and he remains the same Arab that he was before. And Yitzchak Avinu has a whole different approach. Yitzchak's avoda is that Yitzchak maybe did not have thousands of students like Avram had. Yitzchak just had a selected few. But those students, Yitzchak really worked with them. Anybody that can handle Yitzchak and stood around Yitzchak, these people became really, really righteous people. Because what Yitzchak did was, Yitzchak works and makes them work and toil and work. Yitzchak refines the vessel. So ultimately, as the vessel becomes more and more and more refined, it's able to receive more light and more light and more light. And as the energy ascends, so too the vessel ascends. The words that Tzemach Tzedek, the mashal that Tzemach Tzedek gives, it's the chiddush, it's the difference between sleeping and prophecy. When a Navi had prophecy, it wasn't that his neshama left his body and neshama experienced the revelation. The body also received that revelation. Even though we know that the body, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the body didn't flinch. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to stand, and his body didn't flinch. By other Nevi'im, because the intensity was so strong, they would start convulsing and falling on the floor and doing all kinds of ridiculous things with their bodies. But still, the experience was not, it wasn't an out-of-body experience. It was an experience with their bodies they communicated with to the divine. So there was a zichuch taking place. The revelation was in the keli. It wasn't only in the neshama. It was in the keli. And that is the chiddush of Yemois HaMashiach. In Yemois HaMashiach, the world is going to expand to become a keli to God's light. And all the revelations that are going to be spectacular revelations are going to be not in a manner of other outer body experiences where the neshama is going to have to ascend to receive the revelation. And it's not going to be in a manner where there is a powerful revelation down here and the body will shut down. That's more like an Avram Avinu revelation. There is great light and finished for temporarily suspension of the body. The greatness of the time of Mashiach is that the bodies and the physicality of the world is going to be a keli, it's going to be mezuchach, it's going to be a keli, to be mekabel, to receive oirois, the lights, nalim ma'oid ma'oid, very, very high. He says that's the chiddush of Shabbos. That's what makes Shabbos special. Shabbos is also a time of kivoy Shabbos. It's a time of aliyah. It's a time of elevation. Shabbos is a time of great ascent. We ascend. But it's interesting. On Shabbos, when we ascend, how do we ascend on Shabbos? You would think Shabbos is a time when our souls ascend to receive the highest godly revelation, much higher than during the week, right? Shabbos means returning. So you would expect that if Shabbos is such a spiritual day, how would we commemorate Shabbos? We would commemorate Shabbos by doing what? By neglecting our bodies, by putting our bodies to sleep, in a sense fasting or whatever. But it's not that way. What happens on Shabbos is that there is an aliyah. We go up to higher, higher states of spirituality, but we do them with the guf. And adarabah, the mitzvah of Shabbos is to have tainuk, to have pleasure, and to give your body pleasure. But the body's pleasure that the body has from the foods of Shabbos is really a godly pleasure. It's experiencing delight, us tisaneg al Hashem. It's not delight from kugel and chalent. It's delight from Hashem. It's coming through, it's relating and being transmitted to the body through a physical sensation, but it's a pure godly experience. And that is the experience of the day's Mashiach. And that is that all physicality and all physical experiences are going to be open and going to be receiving great godly light. And it's going to be with the guf. Aliyah sakeh. It's interesting. He says the ultimate elevation of such an elevation where the keli goes up as well. Not that the ur departs, the energy departs the vessel, but the vessel goes up to receive the light as well. He says is Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah. By Ne'ilah is the highest elevation. I don't understand the idea, because how come then we're shutting down the body on Yom Kippur? Shabbos, Shabbos, and the body seems to be, we don't eat, we don't do all of our other physical things. So I'm not exactly sure, but he brings this concept from the Arizal that by Ne'ilah is the highest elevation, not to the Or, it's not that the light runs away from the body, it's the Aliyah Sakela Malchus, the Keli, the vessels, the body goes up to Aliyah, to the highest revelation, and it's able to withstand that light. And that's the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes. We're going to say to Yitzchak, Ki Ata Avinu. In another place that Tzemach Tzedek explains something that I think will add a little bit of explanation. I'm going to try to give more of an explanation of this soon, but let's just first hear the idea. So in another place he says that this that we're going to say to Yitzchak Dafka, that you are our father after Mashiach comes, he says that we know that Yitzchak's unique service of Hashem was Upachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak had dread. Mamish, Avram Avinu served God with love, Yitzchak served God with dread and awe and fear. So the Tzemach Tzedek says an interesting idea. He says today's days, dread of God is only experienced in Atzilus, in the highest places. That's where they dread. They become batal and mavut. They have such a dread for the Ein Sof. It's like unbelievable. But total bittul b'metzias. Love, however, love is nizgala, love is revealed. You know, we can all, everybody, even if a person is to a certain degree what we might say, omogushim dig a human being, a coarse human being, a person is able to experience love of Hashem. We can have high moments. But dread of God is something we don't have. Only very, very big tzaddikim like the Baal Shem Tov literally had pachad, yirei Allah, the high fear, the Alter Rebbe, tzaddikim like this. He described their fear of God that was unbelievable. The Barditchever, Rebbe Zusha, stories about their fear of Hashem is like indescribable, of how deep and how powerful their fear of Hashem was. But it cannot be revealed to ordinary people. We can have love, but we can't have fear. That means in the physical world, there's no hisgalus. When Mashiach will come, however, there is going to be the pachad, the dread of God is going to be revealed by olam hazeh hagashmi, in this physical world. As the pasuk says, that people are going to be running into caves out of fear and of dread. But what does that mean? But still, the body's going to be able to handle it. In other words, there is going to be a great fear, but there is going to be a koyach in the guf to handle such fear, such dread. the dread of God. Now we know, here's the thing. Love always shows on distance. If you're loving Hashem, there is a certain distance that you can love. If you experience Hashem in a very, very close, in a real, real deep, open way, then that is experienced as fear and dread. That's why we know in the four letters of the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, so in Kabbalah it says that the Yud is fear. Yirei-Yelah, the high fear. The Hey of Hashem's name, which is lower than the Yud, much lower, is love. And then the Vav is again love, and the lower Hey is fear. So we have two types of fear. There is a fear when you're fearing whatever. It's like a fear from a distance. It's called Kabbalah soil, accepting the yoke, and a lower, a more external kind of a fear. But then there is the real bittul and total nullification for God that comes after all the levels of love. And when you're very, very, very close, that's when one is experienced the ultimate Yiras Hashem, awe and dread of God. Today's days, that cannot be revealed down here in the kalim of this world, when Mashiach will come. So that's the same idea that we spoke earlier, that the chiddush of Yitzchak, of when we're saying to Yitzchak, you are our father, means that in the day when Mashiach will come, there is going to be a zichuch. A zichuch means a purification and a refinement in gashmius of this world as a result of thousands of years of Torah and mitzvahs, that we are going to be able to experience the highest experiences of connection to God, including the pachad Yitzchak, the dread of Yitzchak, is going to be something that we are going to relate to and experience. To understand this a little better, there is an interesting discussion in a sicha from the Rebbe, a very interesting idea about this idea, that Yitzchak is the when we're anticipating the days of Mashiach, it's going to be in a very Yitzchak-dig way. So, Bichlal, we know that all of our forefathers lived already or connected already to the world of Mashiach. Chazal say that Shloisha, there were three people that hitimam, that Hashem gave them a little taste of the world to come. There were three people that God gave them a little taste, a little taste of the world to come, and they're Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They already experienced the Olam Haba, the future world. Make sure that people are still on. Hold on 1 second. If anybody, just give me a sign that, because it's for me, for some reason, it feels a little light on the phone. I want to make, if anybody is there, if you can undo your mute and let me know if the recording is, if you're still hearing me. Just, I want to make sure that I didn't lose the, okay, good, perfect, okay. So it says that that three, Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba. But the difference between Yitzchak and the other Avos is that by the other Avos, it was only a taste of Olam Haba. It wasn't the real experience of Olam Haba. He gave them to taste. But Yitzchak lived already. His life was in the days of Mashiach. He was in a different realm. He was in the future. How do we know that? By the Akedas Yitzchak, it says that Yitzchak passed away. I want to read to you a Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. In Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kivon shegia hacherev al tzavaroi, as soon as Avram's sword, knife, came to Yitzchak, parcha v'yatza nishmasai, his neshama flew out of him. Yitzchak means Yitzchak passed away. Kivan sheshmiya koila mibein shnei hakruvim. However, when the sound came from between the two cherubs, and it says, "Al tishlach yotcha el anar," do not send out, even though there weren't physically two cherubs there yet, but there was spiritually the two cherubs. When the voice of God said, "Don't stretch your hand out to the child," chazra hanefesh lagufay, the soul, Yitzchak had Tchias HaMeisim. His soul returned to his body. That means Yitzchak died already. Now in Zohar it says, interesting, that his neshama went away, but the neshama that came back to him is not his previous soul. It's the soul of the future, Tchias HaMeisim, the Geneshom. Yitzchak experienced the new soul of the neshama that is going to be after Tchias HaMeisim. Then what happened? Vehitiroi, and then he removed the ropes, because Yitzchak was tied down with ropes. Va'amad al raglov, and he stood on his feet. V'yada Yitzchak Tchias HaMeisim, and Yitzchak knew the resurrection of the dead. Those he actually experienced already Tchias HaMeisim. Shekol HaMeisim Asidim L'Hachyos, that all dead are going to be resurrected, Yitzchak experienced on his own bones, on his own flesh and bones. Ba'ois HaShah, at that time, Pasach Va'amar, Yitzchak made a bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaya HaMeisim. You resurrect the dead. It's interesting. So the Mepharshim over here on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer say that it says that he unbound him. He says that's the reason why in the bracha Ato Gibor, the blessing we say Ato Gibor, which is the bracha on Tchias HaMeisim, we say Matir Asurim. You untie those that are tied. What's the connection of Matir Asurim to the Mechaya HaMeisim? Because Yitzchak Avinu, when he had his Tchias HaMeisim, he experienced it also that the cords that were tying him down were removed. So that's why it says Matir Asurim. And then it says that Yitzchak made the bracha Mechaya HaMeisim. So he brings over here the Bir Haradal. It's a pirish on the Medrash. And he brings that when we say in the bracha, so we mentioned Tchias HaMeisim at the beginning of the bracha. You resurrect the dead. And then we mentioned Tchias HaMeisim at the end of the bracha. So he says the beginning, when we say Mechaya HaMeisim, we're talking about those people who experienced Tchias HaMeisim already. And those are Yecheskel. We know Yecheskel HaNavi resurrected dead people. And Elisha brought the son of the Shunammis back to life. And Yitzchak Avinu was the first one who experienced Tchias HaMeisim. But that's the first part of the brach. Baruch Ata Hashem Mechaya HaMeisim is referring to the future Tchias HaMeisim, which Yitzchak was also, when he made the bracha, it was on the Tchias HaMeisim of the future. Fine. Then he brings another fascinating idea, which, by the way, which is really interesting. He brings a Shibulei Aleket, which is from the Rishonim, that say like this, that when Yitzchak was actually put on the Mizbeach, he got burnt in the fire. Because it says that Avram Avinu put Yitzchak, Vayakat Yitzchak, Ala Eitzim, Asher Ala Eish, that's on the fire. So even though Hashem told Yitzchak, Avram Avinu, Al Tishlach Yotcha Lanar, don't stretch your hand out, which means don't shecht him, he says, even though Avram Avinu didn't shecht Yitzchak, but the fire burnt Yitzchak already. It's interesting. And Yitzchak's ashes were actually scattered over the entire Har HaMoriah, over the Mount Moriah. And God brought down upon him the Tal, dew, that Tchias HaMeisim is going to come, and he resurrected his body, which, by the way, I just thought of it earlier, is interesting because, you know, generally we know that Tchias HaMeisim should be only for those whose bodies are buried. And then we have a question with all the people that Nebuch went to the crematoriums. So what's with all these bodies? So we know that we see from the first Tchias HaMeisim that it was Tchias HaMeisim from Yitzchak Avinu for bodies that already were burnt. Yitzchak was burnt in the ashes. And a tal came, and that's why David HaMelech says, hear these pasuk, ketal chermon, like the dew of chermon, sheyored al harere tzion, that goes down on the mountain of Zion. When do the dew of chermon, which is in a different area, come down on the mountain of Zion? That's that Hashem brought already the dew of Tchias HaMeisim, because we know Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen through the Tal, and he resurrected Yitzchak, who was on the Mizbeach, who got burnt. And the Malachim all cried out, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechaya HaMeisim. Okay, this is just parenthetically, and we're Bezeshem going to talk about this further. But what do we see from here? That Yitzchak's life as a human being in this world has ended. And Yitzchak returned as a new human being with a new neshama of the future. Fine. And that's why Yitzchak is so futuristic. His entire life is about... But the Rebbe asks the question, and again, this fits, and this goes mamash what we were talking about earlier. The Rebbe says, no. Someone who died and came back to life is not the real chiddush of Yitzchak. There are other people who died and came back to life. As we said earlier, when Elisha resurrected the daughter, the son of the Shunammis, and the story about Elisha that she sent and her son died and he gave her a bracha for children and then he died and then she called him and he put his staff on him and then he told Gehazi to put the staff on and then he himself lay down on the little boy and he resurrected him. So there was Tchias HaMesim. So there were other people who were resurrected. The chiddush of Yitzchak, the novelty of Yitzchak's resurrection and that Yitzchak came back to life was not in the fact that he went out of the body and then came back to the body. The chiddush of Yitzchak was, in his Tchias HaMesim, was that Yitzchak takes that Olam Haba, that futuristic Olam Haba, that otherworldly experience, and he connected it to our life, to the physical life, to the here and the now. Meaning, that's the whole idea. The experience of Yitzchak is not an experience of transcendence and removing and escaping and disconnection from physical material, but yeah, going up high, high, high to the highest transcendence and connecting that transcendence back down here, as we said before, the expansion of the vessels. That is Yitzchak's inyan. How do you see that in Yitzchak's Mesiras Nefesh by the Akedah and Yitzchak's dying? So he says a fascinating idea. And that is that we know there is a question that is asked here. Yeah, I need you to use your mathematical, not major calculation, but a little calculation over here. Chazal tell us that Avram Avinu's life was shortened. Avram was supposed to live 180 years, the same like Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived to 180, Avram was also supposed to live 180. But Avram lost 5 years of his life. Why? Because Hashem shortened Avram's life, so he shouldn't, chas v'shalom, have heartbreak from seeing his grandson Esav going out in a bad path, in a bad way. Because Esav rebelled, and he became a wicked person. And in order that the Zayda Avram should not have to see and have distress by his Enikel's behavior, so Hashem went and he made him die earlier. Okay. Question is now, let's try to analyze that. That means if Avram died when he was 175 years old, so let's try to figure out how old Esav was how old was Esav when Avram was 175? So let's make the cheshbon. When Yitzchak was born, Avram was 100 years old. Now the pasuk says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when Rivka gave birth to him for his two sons. So if Yitzchak is 60 years old, following? If Yitzchak is 60 years old when he fathers his two sons, Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esau, that means Avram at that time is 160. Following? Now Avram died when he was 175. That means that Avram lives in this world 15 years together with Yaakov and Esau. 15 years. That means how old is Esau when Yaakov died? I'm sorry, when Avram died. How old is Esau when Avram died? Esau is 15 years old. Okay, so now is the question. That means that Esav, until 15, according to that, wasn't misbehaving. Because it says that Hashem took Avram 5 years early, so he shouldn't see the misconduct, the bad behavior of Esav. That means that Esav was a tzaddik until 15. On the pasuk vayigdalu hana'arim, but the problem is that on the pasuk vayigdalu hana'arim, that the children grew up, which means they became bar mitzvah. So Rashi says that at that point, you can see the difference. Esav went out to start making trouble, and Yaakov you can see clearly that his way is to the Beis Medrash, he's learning, he's davening, he's a holy Jew. That means that they already parted ways when they were 13 years old. That means that there's 2 years, from 13 till 15, that Avram Avinu is witnessing his grandson Esav acting in a wicked way. So the question now becomes... Oh, I mean, didn't Hashem shorten Avram's life. He shouldn't have to see Esav being a wicked person. But then Esav is already wicked 2 years before Avram died. So what's with those 2 years that Avram had to die with this pain in his heart? So Mefarshim asked this question. The Daz Akeinim Ebal HaTosfos, one of the Mefarshim, explains that 2 years, or the first 2 years, even though Esav was misbehaving, he was doing it quietly. He wasn't doing it publicly. When he reached 15, he already started rebelling in an open way. So the first 2 years, since it was quiet, Avram didn't know about it. So it was okay. That's his answer. The Rebbe says, well, if that's the case, the Hashem could have made it that Esav should continue behaving in a non-kosher way for another 5 years. You know, not if it's possible for him to misbehave and do it in secret, so he could have done it another 5 years. Why have to shorten Avram Avinu's life for that? So there must be another calculation. I mean, you can answer. I mean, ultimately, it's his Bechira Chavshes. First, he was trying to control it, at least that publicly it shouldn't be that way. And in the end, he came out and he did it publicly. Fine. Well, that's his answer to Baal HaKos. But the Rebbe says another answer. He brings from the Riva, from the Seder, who does he bring it from? Basara Mamares. Fascinating idea. And he says like this, we know that before Yitzchak married Rivka, right after the Akedah, Rivka was born. Right after the Akedah. Yitzchak was 40 years old during the Akedah, and Rivka was born. But Rivka was not yet ready to marry him. She was just born. She had to be ready for marriage, which she was ready when she was 3 years old. So now there's 3 years that Yitzchak waited for his wife, for Rivka to grow up, till she's three. Okay? So those 3 years, when Yitzchak is going from 40 to 43, and then he marries Rivka. I'm sorry, no. Yitzchak at that point was 37 years old. And then there is 3 years that he waits for. However, he brings over here a calculation that during that time Yitzchak went to Gan Eden. During the time that Yitzchak, that he was waiting for Rivka, he wasn't in this world. He was taken up to Gan Eden. And because he was in Gan Eden is a place where there is no time. It's beyond the time, at least, of our world. So he was in a non-time zone. So what happened was 3 years passed, over 2 years passed. And even though for the whole world, time passed, but for Yitzchak, time didn't pass. So when it says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when he had Yaakov and Esav, Yitzchak was really 62 years old. I don't understand. He doesn't mention the third year. I don't know. At least he says more than 2 years. So during more than 2 years, Yitzchak was in Gan Eden. So when it says Yitzchak is 60 when Yaakov and Esav were born, that's not really that Yitzchak was 60. Yitzchak would have really been 62, but for Yitzchak he was only 60. Because Yitzchak, for 2 years' time in this planet, did not affect Yitzchak. So his body didn't age those 2 years. So he's only 60. But Avram Avinu did age, because Avram never went to Gan Eden. So Avram was here. So even though Yitzchak was 60, Avram was 162 when Yaakov and Esav were born. So 13 years later, Avram dies. Yitzchak is 2 years younger. But Avram really died when Yaakov and Esav were 13 years old. Even though with Yitzchak it says he was 60 when he gave born, Avram was already 162 years old. That's a calculation. So this will explain how come Avram did not, chas v'shalom, have to see Esav at all go out in a bad way, which he did when he was 13 years old. What do you see from here? That when Yitzchak left this world, he left and he was outside of time. Now hold it 1 second. We find other tzaddikim ascending to a place beyond time. We find that it's not only Yitzchak who ascended to a place beyond time. The Baal Shem Tov, as recent as the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was able to ascend to a place beyond time. Like it says, an interesting story. The Baal Shem Tov, I'm going to conclude with this, just a few more minutes, okay? I'm going a little long. There was a fascinating story that the Baal Shem Tov once sent a letter to his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon Kitover. Reb Gershon Kitover was the brother-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Shem Tov sent him a letter, and he said, I saw up there in heaven that your life was in danger, and I pleaded on your behalf. Why was your life in danger? Because you judged the rabbi not according to halacha. You misjudged a rabbi. And because of that, and that was disrespectful, whatever, and because of that, you're going to die. You would deserve to die. But I went up and I pleaded on your behalf, and I asked that since you did it with good intentions, because you did it for the sake of God, because it was bothering you something, you did it for because of kinais, there was a strong sense of zealousness for the right thing, you shouldn't be punished. So they decreed in heaven that you're going to be blind for a month. And when a person is blind, it's considered as if they're dead. That's what I was able to accomplish for you. This is what he writes to his brother, to his brother-in-law, to Reb Gershon Kittim. He receives a letter back from his brother-in-law, Reb Gershon. And he says, the story is true, but what I don't understand is that the date that you wrote is wrong. Because when you sent this letter, the story didn't happen yet. The story happened a couple of months later after you dated the letter that you sent to me. That means you wrote this story before it happened. He received the letter in Israel. It took a long time for the mail to get there after it happened. But when you wrote it, it was before it happened. And the Baal Shem Tov explained to him that when I saw this, I was in a higher world. I was in the world of Yetzirah. And the world of Yetzirah, time is not like now. So over there, there is one moment that's already containing 15 years down here. So I can see 15 years in advance. So I saw what was going to happen even before it happened. Fine. But let me ask you something. When the Baal Shem Tov went up and he took his journeys up to Olam HaYetzirah, to the higher world, did his body age? Did his body age or not? And the answer is, of course it did. It's not like why? Because when the Baal Shem Tov went up to Yetzirah, he didn't take his body along with him. We spoke earlier. His neshama went up to the beyond time experience, but not his body. His body remained down here under the ordinary element of aging of time. Spiritually, he went up to a place beyond time and was able to see things up there. Yitzchak is a chiddush. Yitzchak is a novelty. Yitzchak went up outside of time and he took his body with him to the point that his body didn't age. He was 60 years old physically because his body was with him in that higher dimension, in that higher world. So what do you see from here? The same idea as we spoke earlier. The real chiddush of Yitzchak is he takes the transcendental experiences from above the world and he's able to take physicality along with it. It's aliyah sakelim, it's an elevation of the vessel, not just an elevation of light. Ad kadei kach, so much so, that Yitzchak, when he returned back into time and space with his body, he brought that transcendental Gan Eden experience with him. Because he remained living in that Gan Eden, at least in his memory. How do you see that? Just one more thing. When Yaakov comes in to receive his blessing from Yitzchak, Yitzchak says, you have such a good scent coming from you. The scent is so delicious. It's like a reach Gan Eden. It's like the scent of Gan Eden. So the question is, how did Yitzchak know how Gan Eden smells? The scent of Gan Eden. And the answer is because Yitzchak remembered, because he was in Gan Eden for 2 years. He literally was in Gan Eden. He remembered the delicious smell of the Garden of Eden. And so what do you see from here? That even afterwards, when Imamish came at the time of space, he still had a memory. See, we all are in Gan Eden. See, we all, before we come in a body, we're all in Gan Eden. But a malach comes and slaps us in the mouth and we forget it. The chiddush of Yitzchak is that that's not, he bridges those two worlds. He brings down here what is up there. And that's the chiddush. And that's why when Mashiach comes, we're going to be living in Yitzchak's world, because Yitzchak's world is one in which we don't have to compromise on the spiritual worlds, on the spiritual lights of the highest spiritual levels, even though we are in the physical, with the physical, in the body, we can still experience the highest godliness of the spiritual worlds. Aliyas v'zichuch hakelim. And that is the chiddush of Yitzchak, and that is why when Mashiach will come, we will say to Yitzchak, ki ata avinu, you are our father. Everyone should be gebenched and have a really good week. And Bezus Hashem, we shall reconvene next week, Thursday, at hopefully in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The shiur will be coming from the Beis HaMikdash, from one of the rooms. We're going to find a nice little room in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. because I'm a Kohen. I'm going to have a big thing of keys. I'm going to get a little special room, and we're going to have our special Mashiach share. Take care, everyone. Have a good week.